It's a big day here at Playing Field, as this is our first musician interview, and there's no better person, and I truly mean that, than Garrett Dutton, aka G Love. Welcome, G.
Yo, Ben, what's up, brother? And I just want to say before we get started, man, like about whatever I'm doing, that man, it's so awesome what you built with the Playing Field, and I'm such a fan, and I've learned so much. Just about everything, and it's amazing to see what all the athletes are doing, you know, off the field, and just all the products that they're working on, and yeah, it's very, very cool, man.
Really awesome. Cool.
And I don't know how you do it, but you're crushing it. No.
Listen, I feel the same about you, and I appreciate that. And you know, talking about sports, man, you guys, you're a guy from Philly, and you guys are just on fire right now. You're like New England. Yeah. Back in the day, I mean, you got like you just World Series, and then you have the Eagles undefeated. I think I tried over the years bringing you some Pats games, trying to get you to be a Pats fan, but you were committed to the game over there in Philly. So exciting time for you.
Oh man, it's so fucking cool! Like, just to see these teams busting out, like you know it's the same thing with the football every year. You know, like. Yeah. Everybody's like, "Yeah, we're gonna win the Super Bowl this year. This could be the year, you know." And it seems like this year could actually be a year for us to get another title. So that's been really fun to like get to see Jalen Hurts and this squad just dominate, and that just never happens in Philadelphia. And you know, like I've lived up here in Massachusetts for the last, you know, since 2004. So yeah, you guys got me to a bunch of Patriots games and Celtics games, and I am a Pats fan, and I'm a big Tom Brady fan.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, I bleed green, you know what I mean?
There you go.
I will say this though, last playoff run for the Celtics, that was the first time, aside from like, you know, personal relationships, that I really felt emotionally connected to a Boston team. So that was that was really cool, because they put up a hell of a fight.
Listen, we are converting you. It's just taking some time, so that's okay. But you talking about the Phillies, though, in the World Series, I know you had a big thing going on there with the Juice Gang in your recent mint. Will you tell us about that?
Yeah, so we and that's another cool thing about the Playing Field, is that you have the, you know, the crypto news, and you've been really on top of that space in your newsletter, and I appreciate that. And it's also really cool to see that a lot of athletes are into the space as well, and like, you know, some of the forefronters, for you know, the well, the early adopters, and making big moves in the Web3 space. But yeah, so I just jumped in, and I got a PFP. I have three releases. I got the PFP, which was a generative series called Juice Gang. And actually, so that was the first thing that I dropped. And I, you know, like, man, just to be completely honest, like I made a lot of mistakes, and I would have done so many things differently. More importantly than making mistakes was that I just didn't know enough about the space to really do a drop. And looking back, I'm surprised that like Moonwalk, which was our platform, wasn't like, yo, hold up, like, let's really do a little bit more work, kind of getting you into speed, like building your Discord up and doing, you know, building your Web3 community up and really knowing the space before you do the drop. But that being said, like, I just jumped in like full immersion, and so the jumping in part I'm not upset about, but anyhow, it dropped. You know, I was thinking I want to be a fucking millionaire tomorrow, and you gave me a plug on the newsletter, and that was awesome, thank you. And and then it didn't really do too well, so long story short is that we just dropped it again reopened the mint as a free mint to celebrate. Well, we were trying to celebrate the Phillies winning the World Series, but
yeah,
then Houston had a different plan for us. So we still dropped it as a free mint. So it's up right now. And if any of your listeners want to go mint one, you can mint up to 20 per transaction at nft.philadelphonic.com.
And yeah, we'll include a link to that so everybody can definitely check it out. I love, like, you, they're very unique in the designs and all that. And so no doubt, I think I definitely have a few, if not more, in my my wallet there. So hopefully everybody else can join me in that too. So
thank you.
But so, in just your opinion now, I mean, like, not a lot of artists are kind of as like, and I appreciate the way you did it. You just like, you're like, I'm going in. I might not know much about this Web3 NFT stuff. I'm just going in, and you kind of learn from experience there. And just in just your short experience, how do you think the kind of the NFTs and Web3 will affect the music industry?
Yeah, so that's great. So the other drop that I did is for my music, and it's for my latest record. The follow-up to my Grammy-nominated The Juice album is called Philadelphia, Mississippi. And that we dropped, we released it as a regular album with a regular album release cycle, meaning we had a radio campaign, you know, a regular PR campaign, made vinyls and CDs, and it's available on all the streaming platforms and everything. But we also dropped it as an NFT through the Yellow Heart platform. And so, you know, just to answer your question, the short answer is that I believe that Web3 is going to be the second great pantsing of the music industry, right? Mm-hmm. And I can pontificate on that by saying that if we look back, right, to like 2001, right, and think about when Napster, I think that's 2001, 2000, when Napster dropped.
Yeah, I remember. Yep.
And that started the age of, like, you know, quote, digital piracy. And then we can all remember, like, people being like, oh, you know, they're stealing my music and, you know, they're pirating the songs. And, you know, it used to be that people would get your CD and make mixtapes and mix CDs. And, you know, that's how your music would spread. That's kind of piracy, too, in a sense. But
yeah,
that benefits everybody because that's how a lot of people learn about music. Right. So long story short is that that caught the record labels like completely off guard, and they lost billions and billions and billions of dollars. Cause right before that, right, they were at the peak of their industry, and that might've peaked with, like, I might be wrong, but like, I just remember, like, you know, NSYNC's record came out and they sold more albums like that first day than anybody in the history of the music business. You know what I mean? And the record labels, man, they had so much loot. Like, they were just stupid shit. Like, all the stories were true that you've heard, like, you know, like, just dumb money shit. And, you know, and then they just got taken. They just got knocked out. So it was crazy. Like, all the record labels either folded or merged. And now there's only, like, you know, a couple major labels left and just a couple independent labels. Well, there's a ton of independent labels, but significantly, like, more like a couple distribution companies. So anyways, you know, the labels try to play catch up for a lot of years, and then Spotify, and then they didn't, right? And then, like, Apple came along with Apple Music, Spotify, Pandora, Tidal, all the streaming platforms figured it out, right, how to kind of legitimize it. But again, you know, the musicians ended up getting fucked even worse. Like, the music business was already terrible for artists. And, you know, like, your fans, your community here is sports centric. And I'm sure that everybody in that community would also agree, whether you're making Tom Brady money or you're an unproven rookie making that type of money, like, they're still the people that own the shit are way and writing the checks are way making way more money. Right. and it's the same thing with the music business. You know, there's a couple people that make a shit ton of, like, huge, huge money. And then there's a lot of, most of the people are, you know, kind of working class musicians, you know what I'm saying? And so long story that when now So the last thing I say about the streaming thing, which is the Web 2 music thing, right, which is where we're at right now, is that musicians get shafted again because they get less pennies on the dollar for streaming. So before, like, if you sold a million records, right, you'd make a lot of money. You know, if you'd have 10 million streams right now of your album, you might be making, you know, tens of thousands of dollars.
See, that was actually a question I was going to, like, not to get too granular, but that is interesting. So if you sold, let's say, a album, like a CD back in the day, versus like a CD worth of songs now on iTunes, you would have made more money in the past.
Absolutely. Like, not, but still not a lot. Like, so like my deal with music was like, you know, 14 points, of which I had to pay, you know, my band a couple points each,
right,
for albums, for their participation, and like you'd pay the producer a couple points, so you'd end up maybe with 7 points, and that's like 7%. So again, if a record sold for $10, you know, you make
you make 70%, or you make the 3%.
You make 7%.
Yep.
Not 70%. Seven.
Seven. Sorry. Yeah. Not 7D.
Yeah.
Seven. Got seven. It.
So.
Yeah. Big difference.
So you'd make. So what is that's like? That's 70 cents if the record sold for $10, right?
Yeah.
So not a lot, but if still, so if you sold 100,000 records, that's pretty good money. But if you have the same equivalent streaming wise, that number goes way, way down.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Really bad. So I think
it's a
million streams pays like $4,000.
Oh my God. It's just crazy. Then it makes sense though with Web 3, where you ultimately it's in the creator's hands and you can get paid for it by like what you put out.
Yeah. So like directly with my latest album drop with Yellow Heart, I have 90% ownership of that, right? So, you know, and then if you had the record NFT and then you sold that NFT
to
some other buyer, I would also get a piece of that transaction in perpetuity. So this is like, so now you say like, look, if you want to support your favorite band, like, and not just like, listen to them, but if you really love some artists, you know, like,
NFT, buddy.
The best way to support would be like go to the show, you know, buy some merch, or like buy their NFT if they have one, because that money's going to go into the creator's hands, and that's why the long answer to the pontification for the pantsing of the music industry is, again, the labels are not paying attention to this, and this is the future of a lot of sales in every atmosphere, and certainly in music, this is going to make the artists hopefully be one up, you know, on the business side, and actually make some money with their art.
It's so interesting. Thank you for explaining that, because I didn't really know how much. It makes me now want to not only buy a G Love t-shirt, but also an NFT. So we got to support there, but. Talking about your singing there, so it's interesting. You hear different people describe your kind of the way you as a singer, and it's like everything from rapper to jazz singer. And so, like, not that like you want to ever define yourself as one little thing, but like, describe yourself as a, like, how would you describe yourself? Is it rap? Is it jazz? Is it jazz rap? Is it somewhere in between?
Yeah, we call it like hip hop blues, but
hip hop blues,
because basically like. You know, my like G Love, the sound that's G Love is the mixture of like Delta blues and Chicago blues, or just all blues, and kind of hip hop, which I refer to like the golden age of hip hop, 1986 to 1994. Not to say like, you know, hip hop's great, but that's like kind of some of my favorite shit. You know, like that's what it is. But then, you know, like we have a lot of different elements of music within our music, and it's just kind of a soup of everything from, you know, hip hop, blues, rock and roll, reggae, you know, jazz, funk, country. It's roots music. It's American music, you know?
Yeah, I think because of you, I probably went out and bought like 10 different harmonicas just because, like, I am going to play a harmonica. Like you just make it sound so good. And I'll have to include some links to some of your best songs and like with harmonicas because it's just epic. But like staying on the song part, is there something you have with food? I mean, you got Baby Got Sauce, cold beverages, milk and cereal, hot cooking, drinking wine, like on and on and on your songs, like even album Lemonade, like everything has food. Talk to us. Is there something there? Or am I making it up?
No, it's everything. Like, we come from like a foodie family before. Like that was like a word, foodie.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, like I always say like this, like before you could buy like arugula in a supermarket, my mom was like growing it and I don't even know how she would get the seeds, but yeah, like they were, and my uncle was a chef and my mom taught a cooking school for kids in our house. And yeah, so we've always like, it's just been part of the culture of our family. And so like, yeah, I don't know. I just wrote a lot of songs about it. And it's also part of like the blues and a lot of the music that I like to listen to. Like if you look at Bob Dylan's catalog, like he's got a great song called Country Pie. Like, and then like a lot of blues songs are like about drinking or, you know, some food stuff in there. So yeah, it was always, and like, I'm also, you know, I'm not like a professional chef, but that's a big part of the thing that I love to do when I'm home is I cook, you know, like tonight I'm making porchetta, you know what I mean?
I'll be right there. I love it. I've been, a lot of these guys, you know, I've been talking to recently, a lot of these athletes, I've been talking a lot about firsts and like that first moment you step on the field, that first touchdown catch, the first home run. I was thinking about a good first for you. And for me is like that first time you came out to a sold out arena, like that feeling, that like that first, like what is that feeling?
Yeah, I mean, just the feeling of walking out on stage. I mean, yeah, it's like I always get a little bit of stage fright or a lot of stage fright. Yeah. And you know, the man, and there's been, I'm not gonna lie, man, there's some of my, you know, like, you know, that, like, again, I'm taking it back to the athletic thing, and a lot of parts of my music, because I'm an athlete or was in high school, like I always think about music like I think about sports. In a lot of ways. And like, you know, so it's like that thing, like psyching yourself out of the game, you know, that expression, right?
Yeah.
Like sometimes you can get so fired up that like you psych yourself out of the game, or you're like, your head's working too much and you just like, or whatever, you know, you can't get in the groove. And sometimes you come out and you're just on fire and you know it from like the first note. And I'm sure athletes feel it from the first time they get the ball and like, do their first crossover, like, oh, it's on tonight, you know?
Yeah.
It's the same thing with music. Like, you know, you step on stage and like you could fucking land in that first chord and, you know, hit your first vocal or harmonica blast. And if the sound is right and the vibes are right, everything is just like, boom. And then it's just like you ride the wave.
Yeah.
There's like,
you're getting me fired up.
Yeah, I'm getting fired. But then there's nights you go out and it's like, you know, you're running through quicksand and like nothing seems to be working with the crowd, or like you just keep making the wrong call, you know, as to like what the next song is going to be. But I like to think of it like when you're going out on stage, it's like you're jumping off a cliff. You know what I mean? You're throwing yourself into the abyss and you're hoping that you fly.
Yeah. You know? That's interesting. It's really, really interesting to hear that perspective. And yeah, I think I was looking kind of just on your timeline, the news, the G-Love news over the last like 6 months, it's been crazy busy for you. And like, you know, your new album, Philadelphia, Mississippi, you threw your own festival, you're touring, like how do you maintain this balance while you've got so much going on? And then, start with that.
I mean, it's just like, just stay on the grind and stay on my hustle, you know. Yeah. You know, I love performing, and you know, I love recording. So I'm always trying to work on the next collaboration and next tour. And then we have like the regular shit that, like, you know, our team sets up, that's like what I call on the books.
Yeah.
Go touring and stuff. And then I have things that are like off the books. Cause like the regular like machine of like the agent booking and the manager managing and the real venues booking, that's like a certain game that, you know, for instance, you can only play, you're only going to play Boston or any major city once, maybe twice in a year, because you don't want to oversaturate, right? But look, I live, you know, in Cape Cod, and so I do, and there's no industry down here, so I can play as much as I want down here.
Hit the chicken box. Oh, yeah, talking.
Pack you at the chicken box, man.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, so I do a lot of stuff that's like kind of off the books, and that you know kind of keeps us busy. And, and you know, we were kind of talking offline before the thing about like the COVID stuff, and like, you know, we pivoted during that stuff and started doing a lot of private parties at people's houses and backyards. And so we're still doing that, because
awesome.
Again, like if I have like, you know, 100, say I have like 75 to 125 shows that are on the books a year, then I'll probably do another like, you know, 20 to 50 shows that are like private backyard situations or, you know, and if anybody wants to book a private backyard, they just email my wife at gloveshows@gmail.com.
Nice. We'll include that. And I got a 1 year old's birthday coming up here. I might have to give you a call. But I know, you know, in thinking about this and all you have going on and in finding your balance, do you still surf? I know surfing, you know, is good for you and finding balance for a lot of people too.
Yeah, I do it. That's my kind of passion, other than my family and the music. Although I live in Cape Cod in Orleans. And the beach we surf at is Nauset Beach, which has like a crazy great white shark. It's a habitat. It's so when you, it's not just like, oh, there's sharks out there. It's like you're going into a habitat. So there's things that we could do to mitigate that, like painting stripes and huge like eyeballs on our surf on the bottom of your board. Or like I have these I have these shark bands, which is bands like a magnetic kind of bracelet and leash that is sending out a frequency to upset it that a shark would hopefully not like. And I have another one that like called Repella, which actually goes, it's a battery that goes in your board that actually has like an antenna and sends out like a pulse which shocks you. And yeah, they're like, but yeah, but it's real. Like awesome. the shark shit's real down here. So you know,
it's crazy.
I'd probably surf a lot more if that wasn't an issue, but it is.
Get you to Costa Rica. Well, I will. I'll finish this up with some really just fast questions. But favorite place you've played?
Even though it might not be, let's just say that either Woodstock '99 or the Chicken Box.
There you go. Woodstock 99 is obviously a relevant that documentary that came out, and I remember seeing your name there a few times, and of course the Chicken Box with our buddy Packy. You have a most memorable show, would it be Woodstock?
And also that for sure is one, is for sure. I'll never forget that day was crazy, and not all in a good way, but that's another story for another time. What just popped into my mind was playing this awesome festival called the Roskilde Festival in Copenhagen in 1994. And just, that was the first time we played a show. And actually we played a show, it was us, then Morphine, another Boston great band on right after us. And I'll never forget that day, because it was the first time we finished a show and like everybody's hands like shot up, and just to get that kind of response, I'll never forget that. But, you know, like that being said, there's so many magic nights I'm thankful for.
Yeah. All right. Two more for you. You've had some epic collabs, Jack Johnson, Dave Matthews. Which is like your dream collab? tell me, like, you haven't had?
I mean, I'd love to get a chance to, like, work with Jack White or, and I should say, my man, Dan Auerbach. Just because those guys, I know that I've influenced both those guys, and those guys have obviously gone on to really huge, huge platforms. And it would just, because of the fact that we all come from this rooted and really know the Delta blues, and I would be really interested in working with one of those guys at some point.
All right, if they're listening, hit G up. The last one is, I know, you know, with kids, you know, all our kids, you know, we love all our kids the same, but with your songs, do you have a favorite song?
Oh, man. I'm thankful for my biggest hits, like, you know, Cold Beverage, Baby's Got Sauce, and I love to play them every night. But, you know, I'm like any artist. My favorite song is my newest shit. And, you know, so that's like my newest single is like Love from Philly, which I love to play. That features MC Schoolie D and Chuck Treese. And that's like a banger. So actually listen for it, because it should be playing hopefully at some of the Eagles games this year.
Nice. All right. Well, because I saw it on iTunes and I was listening to it yesterday. And I was like, all right, got to include a link to that, because it is very sports focused. But right. you are the best, man. I appreciate your time today. I appreciate the friendship, you know, and just thanks for the amazing fun, like good vibe, high energy, just great, great music over the years. So thanks, G.
Yeah, Ben, thanks for having me. And big shout out to everybody out there. And yeah, I'm just so, like I said, man, keep up the great work, because we're watching, we're reading, we're learning, and we're listening, man. So thank you.